and welcome back to Central Point Podcast with me, Shireen. I feel like I haven't said that in such a long time. It has been over a month, you guys, since episode 13 was released. Forgive me. I said I was having 2 weeks off, which turned into a month, which then turned into more than a month. I do pray you've all been so well and that God has been keeping you. I am excited to share. A lot has happened the past month, and stepping away from the podcast for this time was helpful for me as I stepped into just another season in my life. Something God had called me to, and I faithfully walked in, and He just worked out all the pieces, and I just have a praise in my heart over that. I am super grateful, and I think it will just provide me more time and space to pour into my ministry now. So that's exciting. We might be doing this a lot more, not only in the podcast but also on my Instagram page on Shireen Speaks Life, where there are shorter topics and shares, quick 5 minutes, not so quick 10 minutes. So if you're not already following the Instagram page, it's Shireen Speaks Life, and I shall be posting more regularly on there. So that is enough of my waffle for me being away and coming back. Episode 14, where are we? These last 2 weeks of May, I want to focus in on imitation. The anchoring scripture for this episode is Ephesians 5 verse 1, and in a certain translation the word caused me pause, and I wondered whether we had really spent enough time considering ourselves as imitators. So what we're used to saying is followers. We are used to calling ourselves followers of God, followers of the way. I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a follower of Yahweh, I'm a follower of Yehovah, I'm a follower of Yeshua, I'm a follower, right? We understand that word. But do we ever declare ourselves as imitators? Now, Ephesians 5 verse 1 in the King James reads, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." NIV says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children." The New King James Version says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." The same as the ESV, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." Now you'll say, well, that's one in the same, right? That's one in the same. The definition of imitator is someone who copies the behavior or actions of another to follow or try to follow an example or pattern. Absolutely. But I feel like the word follower we are more accustomed to than imitator. And when I heard the word imitator and I read the word imitator, it felt weightier to me. It was weightier to me to be an imitator of God. We know those, they're called impersonators, imitators. Those that just like pretend to be celebrities, right? They do shows, or they are on the boulevard and they take pictures with individuals because they have this uncanny likeness to a particular celeb, or they're able to imitate their voice or their singing voice or something. And if you want to hire them for your party, your event, anyone that's really good and worth their money, you'd be like, wow, truly, you have finessed, you have studied, you have really gone to town in working out this person's personality, their style, their way of moving, their way of presenting themselves. There's a lot of work that goes into impersonating another person. And here we have in the Bible where we are called followers because we are dear children, hallelujah. We are beloved children of the Most High God. And He calls us and it's therefore. It's like, ooh, therefore. And I think it's Derek Prince who says, you've got to find out why the therefore is therefore. It says, therefore be imitators of God. As I look at Ephesians 4, I realise there's a bunch of therefores in that chapter too. It just feels like Paul is just like, and because of that, and because of that, and because of that, this, that, and the other. Ephesians 4, 17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And the end of that chapter from verse 32 says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And then we go to Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And the heading of that part of the Bible is Walk in Love in the New King James Version. And we had a whole month where we looked at love and God as love and we as children of love and what that means for us to walk in such a way. And so here we are going a little bit deeper with that in imitation. As I said, regarding the earthly form of that, the amount of study and practice that goes into being a very good impersonator is a lot. So how can we be imitators of God if we do not spend time with him? How can we imitate someone we don't know? We haven't listened to, we haven't beheld. Now, of course, we cannot see Jesus, right? We cannot go follow him around, you know. We cannot shadow him like you would if you're watching someone in work in a higher position than yourselves and you shadow them for a day. We cannot shadow Jesus, although that would be absolutely awesome. I would absolutely love that. That would be great. But we do have the scriptures. We do have the scriptures where we are able to read how Jesus dealt with situations, how he spoke to certain individuals, how he conducted himself in certain crowds. We get to read wonderful accounts. And the Bible tells us, is it John who says, that if everything Jesus did was written down, the books would fill the earth, right? I'm like, why not? I mean, come on. I can't get enough of Jesus. Like, fill the earth with everything he's done. My gosh. But we do have this sacred book that provides us enough of his walk, enough of his example to imitate him. And what is wonderful about us and imitating God, and the difference between us imitating God and a human impersonating or imitating another human being, is that we get Holy Spirit. We have Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that produces fruit in us, that teaches us all things, all truth, beloved. Sort of, it's kind of cheating. If I can say that, it's kind of cheating. God's like, I'm gonna do it for you. Imitate me, or by the way, I will do it in you. But have we? Is it just me? Or does the very idea, forget the fact that it is truth, right? That is actually available, beloved. Like, just the idea that we can walk the earth and truly be an example of the fantastically good God that we have in the earth. That the very idea of that is really, really wonderful. The very idea of that is like, wow, oh my gosh, like to walk and be a person in the earth where people really do experience and catch a glimpse of the glory of God. And then it's no longer an idea, but a reality that has been given to us through Jesus. I cannot, honestly, when I take enough time to really take in all that Jesus accomplished for us. It's like, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. Yes, woo, I am saved. It is a big deal to be saved, actually. I'm not saying that lightly. It is a wonderful big deal to be saved, to have salvation, to believe God in that, and to take hold of it. Ooh, that reminds me literally of a verse that I read this morning from Psalms 78. Just looking at the example of Israel and the wilderness and God and his rest. And it's a whole other topic. But in verse 22, it says, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. I think that's foundational to our walk with God, is believing him and then trusting in what he has done. So if you, child of God, declare yourself to be saved because of Jesus, the one known as Jesus of the Bible, because of what he has done, because of what he has accomplished, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, because your life is now hid in him, right? And then the Bible tells us to therefore be imitators of God. I think there's a language that we have where it's like, well, I'm not God, I'm not Jesus. Of course, you are not God. Last time I read the Bible, he is far too wonderful for any of us to be him. Honestly, he is far too long-suffering. He is far too loving. I cannot even start to begin to try and explain God. Cannot do it. No human mind could create or make up the God, the Bible. That's how good he is. That is how good he is. And it's one of the strong reasons I'm like, yo, he's God. Okay. No human's making this one up. He's just way too humble, way too loving. But I digress. I digress on the point, even though this is on imitating God. So we can bask in the goodness of our God for a moment and how awesome he is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, because you love us this much. Honestly, thank you so much for actually doing what you said you were going to do. And God promised this to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He promised this, and he came through, and he's done his part. And as we read in Ephesians 4, actually, is that we're this new person, we're this new creation, where we can imitate God because he is our Father. We have been adopted in. We are able to cry, Abba, Father. His Spirit is within us, beloved. So it's not, I'm not God, I'm not Jesus. It's not that. It's, wow, I have the privilege, I have the opportunity to walk life in this earth like Jesus. You do. We do. It is possible. It is available for us. Oh, like, sanctification, what a process. I'm not saying that, like, you get saved and suddenly, instantly, you are perfect. No, no, no. What we do, though, is that we grow into, we behold and we become changed. There are things in children, as they behold the adults around them for long enough, they start taking on a little personality. they start speaking a certain way. Their voice has inflection that goes places. There are phrases that come out of their mouth because they've heard it so many times from a particular adult in their life. When we are steeped, when we are surrounded, when we desire to be with Jesus, we will imitate. And not imitate for imitate's sake. Not trying outwardly to be a certain way, not trying to look a certain way or sound a certain way because we believe that it is the right way to sound or we will be perceived better. No, it's not an outward thing, but an inward thing. It is an inward working thing that comes out. And then you will hear people say things like, "You remind me of Jesus." How awesome would it be for someone to say to you, "You remind me of Jesus. I see Jesus in you." Goodness. How great. How great. For the Prince of Peace, that wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, God with us, the one in whom we find rest for our souls, that people can spend time with us, hear us speak, and say, "Oh, I see Jesus in you." Beloved, I think it's a huge deal. And when our default to defend ourselves is to say that I'm not God, I'm not Jesus, we don't have to come from that place. If someone has said something to us, right? If someone wants to bring up an account of something or an offence or something, we do well to hear the offence, hear the person out, and then ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And it's not a cliche. I feel like it's become a cliche. What would Jesus do? It's like WWJD. I have to think about that right now, right? This tagline, like this slogan. Beloved, it is not a tagline, it is not a slogan, it is power. It's authority. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's belovedness. It is sonship and daughtership. It is, I'm a child of God. When you consider, what would Jesus do? So when someone says something, does something, a grace should be present. What is it that made that person say that? What is it that made them interpret what I did like that? Maybe I am or I have been this way. They're not asking for me to be perfect, but they are saying that what I did had this effect. The response isn't, "I am not God." The response isn't, "I am not Jesus." Because the fact of the matter is, if someone is dealing with us, child of God, God willing, they will see a glimpse of the Lord. God willing, through His Holy Spirit, they will be treated as Christ would treat them. Now that is like nuts huge, right? Nuts big, like crazy, but crazy good. But crazy good. And it's not a pressure thing. It's not like, "Oh, you're a bad person if you don't like speak, talk, walk like Jesus." Like, it's not that. I feel like our brains automatically go to sort of like this really big negative thing or this pressure thing. And that's where it's like, "Well, I'm not Jesus" comes in, or "I'm not God" comes in. I think if we started to read the Bible like an invite more so than a reprimand all the time, we would start to see God's beautiful hand, an invitation to be, an invitation to become, an invitation to do, an invitation to walk, an invitation to speak, an invitation Because he has already done the weightier part of this in providing us access, making us right with him, reconciling us. He has done the weightier part of this. And then he says, hey, believe me, trust in it. Because if you are new, if I am your dad, if you behold me, you will become. You will become. I think of the scripture that says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 2. Philippians 2 verses 5 to 8, it reads, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The Word made flesh. The Word now in the appearance of man, the Word humbled, obeyed, was hurt unimaginably, all the way to the point of death, and not just any death, the death of the cross. The Word, the one who spoke it creation, the one who created everything, allows himself to be not overcome, but he allows the power of Rome, which was the cross. Awful way to die. So what would Jesus do? Ephesians 5, 2 continues and says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And I believe I've shared this in the past in regards to my name. He's like, is that episode 2? And what it means and how we are meant to give our bodies as living sacrifices. Sweet smelling aroma. But it's not just coming out of nowhere. Once again, it's coming from the example of God first, and walk in love as Christ. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us. I said it before and I will say it again. Everything that God asks of us, he has already portrayed, done, given an example of himself, and he is willing to do it within us, imitators of God. Matthew 5 verse 49 says, therefore you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That word perfect means complete. Means complete. Imagine. We say by his stripes we are healed. We say in Jesus we lack no good thing. So when it comes to perfection, why is it that we put like our worldly head on, our worldly mind on, and we start like thinking of perfection? Like the perfectionism and being a perfectionist is like the worst thing, honestly. It robs your joy. It robs your joy. It steals your joy in the Lord. It has you in burnout. It has you comparing. when a child of God says, I'm a perfectionist, I'm like, oh, been there, done that, no, no, no. Christ at one point couldn't even carry his cross, still died on it, couldn't carry it. A perfectionist would be like, but I didn't carry it. Right? Was it less perfect, what Jesus did? No. No. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Ooh, what a promise. My heart completely shifted, and the peace that just settled within me when everything became a promise and an invite. A promise and an invite, because all of God's promises in Jesus are yes and amen. It will be in Jesus. When we pray according to his will, it is done. It is given. He has called us to be because it is possible in him. It is possible in him. If we trust him, if we trust in his salvation, if we trust and believe he is able to work in us, you will start to notice when you are fighting the Lord. When your ideals fight God, when your expectation fights what is actually really, really good for you, and you're like, oh, that was a me thing. Just today, I was praying with a friend. I pray with her every day, every weekday. We pray together. And in the middle of the prayer, as I'm coming into agreement with something that she wants to repent of, and we're talking about it, I'm speaking about it in the prayer, I realize that her no, her not listening to God's no, is just the same as me not listening to God's yes. Her resisting God's no was the exact same as my current resisting God's yes. And who am I? Who am I to be resisting God's yes? I'm not moving off track. I won't walk in a way that's contrary to what he said. No, but my thought life, though, as I think on it, and how a different version might be better, not even better, just more comfortable for me, as my mind does those things, what am I doing? My thought life, I think I know better than God. There's no like soft way to put it. God has told me yes. God has said this is the way. God has said this is my plan. This is what I am doing. You will wait for me to fulfill this thing that I have said. And then in the waiting, I go, I just think there's a better way of doing this. Excuse you, Shireen. There's a what? Sorry. God's yes is yes. God's no is no. Self being lifted up when you have heard God clearly. It's idolatry. Just because I'm not walking out and I'm doing my own thing and I'm definitely staying resolute in what God has said to me, doesn't mean that my mind can think other things and get away with it. Doesn't mean that my imagination can imagine other things or other routes or other ways and get away with it. No. So here my mind is dishonouring God, even though in the physical it looks like I'm very much honouring God. It's like, oh yeah, she's really standing. She's really waiting. She's really settled in what the Lord has said to her. But up here I'm like, this and maybe this. And wouldn't it be awesome if it was like this? And you might say, we've all been there, of course we have. Yeah, but today I was really convicted in that being idolatry. Where I think I can conjure up something better than God can. And I don't actually believe I can. But why am I giving it headspace? Why am I giving it headspace? Why am I allowing my imagination to go there long enough for me to have an ulterior scenario that is definitely not what God said? God is to be honoured in all parts of our life, especially our minds, our thoughts, our imaginations. the things that people cannot see, the things that people cannot read, the place where no one knows but God. Here's the thing about imitating God. We can never get close actually to how loving and how giving he is. Can we outgive God? Absolutely not. Can we outlove God? The very idea is it's nuts, because he is love, you know? So when you take the pressure off of got to be God, right? What you find out is, when you imitate God, when you allow his Holy Spirit to do the work in you, when you are adamant and walking out in this beautiful way, you are just this wonderful human being in the earth. Right? You get to experience what it's like to think soberly, to live peaceably, to have your words seasoned with grace, to have your first response be mercy, to not take offense, but to see the deeper issue if the matter. You get to experience yourself be better. You get to experience other people be better. You get to witness others come to the Lord and become. Who doesn't want that? When you love God, who doesn't want that? When you declare the reason for your countenance being the way it is in a time of storm, when you can lift your hands in worship despite of, when you are able to hold on to the last thing God did, even though he's taking what feels like his time in the current thing, and people ask, how? And you say, I am a child of good Father. And it's him that I am expecting from. It is him that I'm relying on. It is him that I am leaning on. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I say this all the time on this podcast because it's true. Child of God, have you really considered what it is to imitate God? Do you know him intimately enough to imitate him? Is it even a desire of yours to imitate him? You know what's awesome about going about trying to imitate God? Not even trying, just purposing to imitate God, is that you're partnering with God and God will come in and then God will speak, you know? God's voice gets a little louder. His nudges get a little clearer. His word starts to resonate a whole lot more, and scriptures pop up in your mind and you're like, ah, oh, that's why that says that. Your life starts triggering the scriptures. As you live out your life, scripture is being triggered in your mind. And you're like, that is why that says that, because I am currently living it out by his Spirit. We have such a wonderful example to take hold of, beloved. I know I feel like I'm just sort of like milking this point, but a follower is something that I have considered always. It's like, I will follow you wherever you go. Lead me, Lord, and I will go. We just get it. We get it, I think. I think we get what it is to be led, right? Be led. But imitate? I'm not so sure if that's something we're so acquainted with. Because we just haven't allowed our minds to rest on it, to consider it long enough, to know what it looks like. I'm going to read just a few scriptures here, speaking of Jesus, just some reference points for us. Reading from the New King James Version, we've got Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Okay, I can't move on. I was going to read my next scripture, but take my yoke upon you. Beloved, just close your eyes for a moment And I know if you've like watched sermons on yokes before, they have this thing, right? That is around your neck that yokes you. But look to your right. It is Jesus. Jesus is on your right hand side. He is yoked to you. You are yoked to him. Wherever you go, he is beside you. He is with you. Jesus, when you are yoked to the Lord, he is with you. And when you are continually beside someone, how are you not going to learn from them? He said he is gentle and lowly in heart. When you are in certain situations and you are with the Lord, he is with you in those places, you will hear that still small voice. You will have that impression download in your spirit, however you receive from Holy Spirit, however he speaks to you, you will receive. And you will know how to carry yourself in that time because you are yoked to the Lord. We must be yoked. And that is how you imitate. You are yoked. You are walking beside with him continually. 1 John 2:6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Hear it as an invite. Hear it as a promise. Believe that if you are walking with the Lord, if you are yoked to him, which means you are together and you are abiding in him, his spirit is within you, you will walk as he walked. It's possible. He's already overcome the world. He has victory over the world. Victory over death. The Bible tells us, simply resist the devil. Resist. And he will flee. Not like he will stop tapping on you. Not he will wait until you stop resisting and, you know, flee. He will flee from you. Not you have to run away from the devil and go, oh no, la, 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 I'm going to run now. La, la. No, you resist and he will flee. Believe God. Trust the Lord. Silence the liar. He's a liar. The spirit of truth will teach you all things. And your lie detector will get so crisp, child of God. Your lie detector will be so crisp. You'll be like, that is a lie. That is a whole lie. I do not come into agreement with that. And by God's grace, Holy Spirit will provide you the scripture that is the truth of it. But in order to have these scriptures brought up, beloved, you have to read it. It has to be put in there at the very least. Holy Spirit can't bring something back to your remembrance if it was never taken in the first place. We must be in our word. We must behold our God. We are called to be imitators. That is what a follower of God is. Going back to doing this with Jesus, 1 Peter 2:21 says, for to this you have been called. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Now the word there for follow isn't imitate. It's not that you might imitate his steps. The word follow there means to accompany. Accompany Jesus in his steps. This you cannot do by yourself anyway. It's not possible, beloved, okay? You in your own strength, in your own mind, aside from God. It's not possible, but in Christ, with the Lord. Oh my gosh. Get excited about what you are able to do in the Lord. Get excited about what God is able to do in you. Get excited, beloved. It is not a cliche to ask and to think, what would Jesus do? Do. It is the very God over your heart. It is the very soundness of your mind. It is the very spirit of love that pours out. It is the very hug of grace that envelopes you. It lights the way Jesus is. Because as you ask, what would Jesus do? It's like, what is the way? What is the truth? And what is the life of this moment, this situation, this time? What would Jesus do? Take it back and put the authority back into such a question and such a thought. Put the power back into it. What would the way, the truth, and the life do? And then watch your life be an example of the way, of the truth, and the very life, the very abundant life God has for us in Christ Jesus. Beloved, when you imitate God, if children of God imitate God, how are people going to ignore the true living God? How? There would be clear distinction, children of God, in the way you carry yourself, in the way you love people. God, it is the love that we will be able to walk in genuinely as imitators of God. Where you are going to be able to let someone know something that is particularly damaging to them, and they will not take offense. They know that you are saying it in love. They know that you are. And they will have to admit that, like, I know you love me so much. I know what you're saying to me is coming from a place of love. Beloved! Like, that makes my heart explode. Let us take hold of the fact that we are children of God, and that those who do not yet know Jesus, when they have experienced us and they are led to go into the Word of God and they read the accounts of Jesus, they will go, oh, I have seen him. How awesome would that be? I have seen him in you. That just makes me like feel emotional. That would be pretty awesome, don't you think? So let's go for it, children. There are weightier matters to following. It's not just a thing we say, I'm a follower of Jesus. It's not just a thing we say. It's not just nice words. Imitate God. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to pray us out. Let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you so much that you are trustworthy, dear Lord. I had other scriptures to share, Father God, but it feels right to just stay here, to end here. With this thought, with this consideration, with the weight of what it is. Father, thank you that this is possible through you. Help us, dear Lord. Give us the heart to really be followers of you, which is to be imitators of you, to be your example in the world. Be with us, dear Lord. Have your way with us, dear Lord. I praise you in advance for how in awe we are at our very selves. How we navigate situations, how we speak in certain circumstances, how we watch you minister to others through us, Lord.
Truly, you have called us to an abundant life on earth. A supernatural, wonderful life on earth, despite the world and its ways. The world will continue being the world that you have overcome it, and therefore have made us overcomers of it too. Father God, thank you. Thank you that this is possible. Thank you that this can be our story. Thank you, Father God. Have your way in our lives and reveal to us what is stopping us from stepping into fully what you have called us to be. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I am grateful to have spent this time with you. If any part of this episode resonated with you, please like, comment, share, subscribe, and let's stay together and keep discovering together. I would like that very much. Yeah. Bye guys, I'll see you next week. Take care.